Hey, thanks so much for joining us on our channel today. We want to encourage you to subscribe and like today's video. Also, today's word is brought to you by our truth partners. These are people who want to financially invest to help us get this message of truth to around the nation and around the world. You can become a truth partner today by simply going to creativechurch.com/give. Again, thank you for partnering with us on this message of truth, and thank you for liking and subscribing to today's video. God bless you. I pray this sermon blesses your life.
Amen. Remain standing. We're just going to read one verse. Stand with us just to read a Bible verse. We stand for the reading of the word here, and the next time you get up is on you. But it's standing for the word of God is not a white thing, a black thing, an Asian thing, a Hispanic thing. It is a biblical thing. They stood for the reading of the word. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We're going to read one verse to you. And we're in our series, Healthy Homes. How many of you want a healthy home?
Amen.
Healthy home. So we want the presence of God in your house more than this house. Amen. Because the reality is you spend more time in your world than you do this one. And at the end of the service, we want you to go home.
That's right.
More importantly, we want you to want to go home. Because it's a terrible thing to have to go someplace you don't want to go. And many people don't know the reason why our church color is orange. The reason it's orange is because we want you to take the color red, which represents your love for your family, your love for your children, your spouse. And we want you to take the color yellow, which represents your love for the Lord, the local church, the light of the world. And we want you to blend the two so well, you're orange. We don't want you red. We don't want you yellow. Come on, amen. We want you to find that orange. We want you to love your family and love the Lord. Come on, amen. And so that's our heart on it. And so Joanne and I are not perfect. We don't have this perfect marriage and have no challenges and no difficulties.
Nope.
We're not up here teaching you because we're perfect and you're not. So don't compare yourself to us. Don't compare yourself to any other marriage other than who your marriage was last year.
That's right.
And so Paul says not to compare yourselves amongst yourselves. And we're teaching you what we have learned, what we have discussed. And last Sunday, I gave you several resources that I think are worth you purchasing and listening to and reading like we have. And you can go back and get those resources, everything from John Maxwell to Pastor Franklin, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt, to Bishop Jakes's Before You Say I Do, Hope Carpenter's book, a Beautiful Disaster, all of those kind of great resources. Get them into your heart and into your spirit so that they will bless you. Can I get an amen about that? Praise the Lord. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep your heart. Everybody say, keep your heart. It says, keep it with all diligence, all diligence. Watch after it, okay? For out of it springs the issues of life, or out of it flows the issues of life. Father, thank you for your word. Anoint me to minister it with clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God praise one more time. You can be seated. Let's go to work. Hey, just before we jump in to this, my wife and I, started a company called Cell Phone Safety, Cell Phone Permit, and you can get one of the magazines on the way in and out. We were featured in a Avail magazine as people who are in ministry that are also entrepreneurs. We consider ourselves pastorpreneurs, and we decided to start this. The Lord literally gave us this. How many of you believe God will give you an idea, right? God will give you those things and gave us this, and it is, in my opinion, the premier platform to help students learn how to use a cell phone in a safe way and in a responsible way, and how to be a good digital citizen so we don't end up with all of the challenges and disasters that we're currently facing.
That's right.
And so we've decided to make that available to all of our first-time visitors today for free. Can somebody say amen about that?
Amen.
So if you're a visitor, please get that. Get that into your children, and we want to bless you with it. So Proverbs 4 and 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The issues, the feelings. And I think feelings are something that I want to discuss, because when it comes to feelings, it was God's intention that we would live with feelings, that we'd live with them, but we would not be led by them. And I think we live in a world where people are often led by their feelings, and your feelings will lie to you.
Yes, they will.
Your feelings will lie to you. How many of you had your feelings lie to you? Yeah. How many of you had your feelings change? You know, they say your taste buds change every 7 years, but I just think I'm adding to it. There's nothing coming off the list that I used to like that I don't like anymore. I'm just new things I'm liking. So I don't know how that's supposed to work, but God designed us with our feelings. He designed our feelings to serve us, not for us to serve them. So if you're taking notes, write down that feelings are great servants, but terrible masters. They're terrible masters. And I think we live in a world that operates by feeling because they can't see. The Bible says when it comes to your home, your marriage, write the vision, make it plain, that all that see may follow thereby. Your church has a vision. Your church has values. The clothing you're wearing, the company that you bought that from, has vision, has probably a set of values. The car that you drive here today, that company has visions, probably has values. How do you not have vision and values? How do you not have vision and values? How have you never sat down and wrote down your own personal vision and values, your own marriage values, your own family values? Because it's not just enough just to have vision, you also have to have values. People don't divorce over vision, people divorce over values.
That's right.
Vision is what you want to do, values are how you're going to do it. So you have to discuss how are you going to do it. And if you don't have a vision, you'll operate on feelings. And if all the lights were to cut off in the room right now and you had to get out and you couldn't see, you know how you'd get out? Through feeling. And you'd move really slow because you'd have to feel your way out. That's why you've been dating for 7 years, because you're feeling the relationship because you can't see. Sit there, baby. I'm coming for you. I'm coming right for it. So just sit there at confused. But you'll end up dating for several years because you can't see. So you feel through the job. You feel through the relationship. You're feeling because you can't see. You need to ask God to show you what your spouse looks like. You need to ask God to show you what you're supposed to be doing. See, God's first language is not English or Spanish. God's first language is visions and dreams. So you need to go to God and say, God, begin to speak to me in visions and dreams. Only two people in the Bible God spoke to audibly. Everybody else God spoke to, he spoke to in a vision and a dream.
That's right.
So when God speaks to you, he's going to speak to you in visions and dreams. That's why when you go to your children and you say, what is God saying to you? They go, I don't hear God. God doesn't talk to me, because they're listening for English. But God's first language is not English. God's first language is visions and dreams, which means God is going to speak to us while we sleep. Therefore, we cannot waste 30 minutes to an hour before we go to bed, listening to the hate news, watching horror films, watching all kinds of scandalous stuff on TV and shows, right, and pumping it in our homes on 80-inch TVs and surround sound, and then go to bed and try to hear God. God is not going to waste one-third of your life. You spend one-third of your life sleeping. God's going to speak to you. The Bible says that he giveth to his beloved even while they sleep. In fact, tomorrow starts tonight. The day starts at night. When it turns 12:01, it'll say tomorrow. Even though it's dark outside, it's morning. Even in your Bible, it says in the evening and the morning was the first day. It doesn't say morning and evening. It says the evening and the morning. God owns the night. Amen. That God wants to speak to you while you sleep. So we need to prepare our hearts, prepare our children's hearts, and prepare our home to hear the Lord. One of the ways you know that you're where you need to be with the Lord. Am I helping anybody in here tonight? Today. One of the ways you know you are where you need to be with the Lord is he begins to speak to you in visions and dreams. He begins to show you so you don't have to feel. And you need to begin to ask God to reveal himself to your teenagers, to your children, to your husband, to your wife. Because when they have an experience with God, no argument can stand up against an experience.
Hey, I just want to take a moment and let you know that today's sermon is brought to you by our Truth Partners. If you're interested in being a Truth Partner, simply go to creativechurch.com/give and select Truth Partners today. Again, please subscribe and like today's video. It's blessing you. It's blessing your family. And hey, let's get back to the Word.
No argument. I don't care what they teach them in school, what they see on YouTube. If they have a God encounter, no argument will be able to stand up against an experience. The reason why some of our children are led away by YouTube, they're led away by the whims of society, is because they have not had an encounter with God. God does not have grandchildren. God has children.
That's right.
And you have to know him for yourself. Come on, if you believe it, give God a big praise.
But you also have to create an atmosphere in your home for God to dwell.
If you're watching something,
you got to think in your mind, could the Holy Spirit dwell in here while this is happening? Or while I'm listening to this?
Yeah.
Or while we're seeing it on our TVs? Like, can the Holy Spirit dwell?
Would we watch this with Jesus?
Yes. And if you say no, then don't watch it.
Mm.
I know that's not popular, but how do you expect God to come into your home, heal your kids, heal your marriage, but you're allowing something that is should not be in your home
Wicked.
To be there?
If you can't watch it in front of your kids, you shouldn't watch it at all.
Exactly.
I'm talking to you, not
yes.
the person next to you.
It's true.
You.
I know it's very anti-culture what we're saying, but you have to live life like that if you want God to come in and heal your marriage, heal your home, be a godly home, godly kids, be strong in their faith. That's how they're going to do it. Leave worship music on at night while everybody's sleeping in our house.
Yeah.
The TV really is really rarely used, but when it is used, it's we have it on our Apple Music, and it's worship all night long.
Yeah, worship videos.
Yeah, going on in our home on a very low volume, but for... And if everybody sleeps really well, don't they?
Yeah.
When that happens, and we just have it constantly going. Even when you're not there, just have it, just create that atmosphere in your home where God can dwell.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful. It cuts down on fussing.
It sure does.
And fighting and arguing.
Even our kids know now. When they start hearing everybody yelling, they're like, okay, let's put some worship music
on. It does. You'd be shocked how... When children are exposed to hostility and arguing and fighting, how that begins to get in them, because you will be what you see. And so it's so important that we create atmospheres in our home. That's one of the reasons when we worship in this room, it attracts the presence of God. Don't you believe
right.
that? That when we worship in here, it attracts the presence of God. The same way you can attract the presence of God in this house, you can attract the presence of God in your house.
Amen.
And that's what you're after, is the presence of God. Because in his presence is fullness of joy.
That's right.
And the same way you can attract godly presence, you can attract demonic presence.
That's right.
You can do things in your home and bring things into your home that attract demonic presence in your home. And so you need to make sure that you don't allow anything. Being careful what your children watch, what they see, what they expose themselves to, and that you are not a friend to them, but a parent while they're little. Come on. Mm-hmm. You're going to be their friend the rest of their life when they're grown, but you have a window to be their parent.
And if they ask you, why can't I watch that? Why can't I go here? Why can't I be their friend? Tell them. This is why. These are the reasons. Because this is not what God tells us we should be doing.
Right.
And then they'll understand eventually. Their feelings will come into alignment, right?
Your feeling, yeah. You
know,
bet.
This week... You know, Pastor left me for 3 days. And so y'all know, you know, I'm really nice, okay?
And my kids have a lot of patience. I went to minister at another church. I didn't just leave her.
Yeah, I didn't mean it like that.
Walked out the house,
I didn't mean it
mad.
Like that. I mean, like, he went on a trip. But, you know, with 8 kids, just me by myself, my frustration level was very high. But we've created an atmosphere in our home where my kids can come up to me like, Mom, can I pray for you, please? And when that happens, it's just like, ooh, that's not
yeah.
good. That means I need to go spend time with Jesus and I'll be back.
That's right.
Because it really convicts me to know that I must be short. I must be yelling too much. I must be doing these things where they have to now come to me and say, can I just pray for you real quick? And they did, a couple
yeah.
of them this past
it's
week.
It's powerful. Well, we don't want the mindset of like, hey, Mom's in a bad mood, leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
Dad's in a bad mood, leave him alone. Because then when they're teenagers, they say, I'm in a bad mood, leave me alone.
Yep.
What we want is like, Mom's in a bad mood, let's go pray for her. Dad's in a bad mood, let's pray for him. Let's all come around him and believe God to help him with whatever's frustrating him.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they're teenagers and they're frustrated, they say, I'm in a bad mood, I'm really frustrated, I need my family to pray for
That's
me.
That's right.
So kids, amen, kids
That's
will
right.
be what they see. And and to guard your heart, guard it. The enemy would love to cause what's down in your heart to be full of frustration and anger and difficulties. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The mind and the heart are connected. And so the heart of God is to be in your heart. And so you got to go to God. And this is something, let me pastor you for a moment. Will you let yourself be pastored? Can I get an amen about that? See, when Pastor Joanne and I speak to you, we don't want you to see us through the lens of preachers. You have a lot of preachers. You can go watch preaching on YouTube. You can go watch 12 sermons on YouTube and do it. Preachers are a part of the New Testament church, okay? But we're not, God didn't call us to be preachers. God called us to be pastors. So we're pastors. And so you got to let yourself be pastored. A lot of people don't. A lot of people come to church and they just want a preacher. And they pick churches based on the preaching. The preaching, everything's preaching. But you really got to allow yourself to be pastored, okay, and be shepherded. And so I want to pastor you for a moment. And as a pastor, you have to allow yourself to be pastored. And you have to go to God. And you got to go to God and say, God, if there be anything in me. See, because the thing is, a lot of us have things in us that are wrong, that are wicked, that are... You know, the Lord said, if my people are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Mm. A lot of us have bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, lust, anger, hatred, manipulation, witchcraft, debauchery. We have a lot of things that are going on in our life. And if you don't go to God with this, you got to go to God with this. Because you can con me, you can con the person next to you, but you can't con God. God knows your heart.
That's right.
Some of us are very selfish people, very selfish, very stingy, stingy with our words. You won't compliment people. You don't thank people. You don't give to people. Very stingy people. And you got to go to God and say, God, if there's something in me, I need you to deal with this. Deal with this in me and ask God to take this out of you. Okay? And one of the greatest, please hear me, one of the greatest things you could ever do for your spouse is give your spouse permission to correct you. Give them permission to correct you. Say, I am giving you permission. Do you see anything in me? Mm-hmm. Is there anything in me that you see that I need to go to God about? And when they tell you, do not freak out on them. And Joanne and I are at the point now in our marriage where we've just learned to be honest with each other and be comfortable with that. When she comes to me and says, why would you leave this much milk left in the container and put it back in the fridge? Why would you do that? Why? You are 43 years old. Why would you leave one sheet of toilet paper on the toilet paper roll and not change it? My God, what is wrong with you? What do we have to do to get you to mature to the point that you could change the toilet paper holder?
Or take your dirty clothes and just put them in the basket that's right next to you.
My Lord.
So it doesn't look like the rapture took place.
What do we have to do to get you to put your clothes away? And I would used to point out, well, you don't do this. Look what you do. You don't. And now I just go, I don't know. I think I'm too lazy to get up and walk all the way into the pantry and come back and replace it. And if I leave one little piece on it, then it's somebody else's problem and I don't have to deal with it. And if I drink all the milk, then I feel like a slob. And if I leave just a little bit, I don't feel so bad about myself. And it's somebody else's issue. So I clearly have a problem. I need you to pray for me. And I tell her, I need you to pray for me. Pray for me. Please pray for me. And because you cannot be somebody, you cannot be mad at somebody you pray for regularly.
You can't, and it's really funny.
Yeah, I'll just go to her, just pray for me. I have a problem. Pray for me. I don't know what's wrong with me. And just learn to be honest about how you feel or what you're going through so that you can handle these, so you don't go down the crazy cycle. Has anybody been down the crazy cycle where you say something, she says something, and now you're going down the crazy cycle, where you can just learn to be honest about the challenges that you face in marriage and face in life? And And I think that's one of the, I think that that's is right. really one of the big things is learning to bless my spouse. I'm not going to curse her. I'm not going to curse my children. I refuse to be Satan's evangelist in my home.
Yep.
Amen. I refuse to be Satan's pastor in my home. I'm not going to pastor my children through hate. I'm not going to be full of hate because hate is how you make Satan your pastor.
That's right.
And I'm going to be a person of compassion because compassion knows all the answers. And you have to go to your spouse and say, do you see this in me? This is why Satan could do nothing with Jesus. Jesus said, the enemy of this world has come against me to tempt me, but finding nothing in me. See, nobody can pull out of you what's not in you.
Mm-hmm.
And let me be very serious with you and tell you something. A lot of pastors won't tell you, and a lot of people don't want to hear because it's offensive. But when God deals with you about a sin in your life, an issue in your life, He will first start dealing with you through conviction, and you will know it. You will know this is wrong. I got to stop this. You'll know. If you don't listen to that, then God starts talking to you through His Word. He'll start talking to you through a pastor. So when I say things and I preach, it brings conviction to your heart. That's God talking to you because He loves you. Okay? Your spouse might try and tell you, hey, this is an issue. You got to deal with this. Now, most people, when their spouse comes to them, or pastor or people, they get angry. It's like trying to talk to an alcoholic about, hey, you got to stop. They get upset. Or somebody who's dealing with lust, they get upset. Or somebody's dealing with an addiction, they get upset. That's one of the ways you know you have a problem, is you are uncoachable. You're unteachable. You're not willing to listen, okay? And there's no conviction, there's no repentance, all right? You become very stubborn, and you become very hard-headed and resistant. See, I told you it's not popular.
It's really
this
quiet.
This is real. You see how quiet? Some people like the church when it shouts. I like it when they get quiet sometimes. And what happens is you become resistant, okay? Because Satan doesn't want you to listen. And all of a sudden you start disconnecting from your spouse, disconnecting from your parents. You start disconnecting from church because you're upset. That's your flesh. And you go into self-loathing and self-pity and anger and frustration. He isolates you so he can destroy you, pull you away from the church, isolate you, like pull you away from the herd so he can attack you, okay? And Jesus said that his people, okay, that's called an iniquity. Everybody say iniquity. Iniquity is an issue in your life that you refuse to surrender to God. It's a sin. It's an inside. It's not something you're doing on the outside. It's something inside. It could be hate, bitterness, lust, anger, whatever it is, but you're dealing with it, okay? And you know, while I'm preaching, you know, God's talking to you right now while I'm speaking to you. And if you don't deal with this, Jesus says that this iniquity, you won't repent and you won't change. You won't give it to God, that this iniquity becomes seared in your heart. Seared in your heart. And you perish with this. And you live the rest of your life with this sin, with this struggle. You live with it. And you die with it. And you perish with it. And you go to hell with it because you would not give it to God.
That's right.
And God brought this to you. People who love you brought this to you. The Holy Spirit came to you. Pastors came to you. And you would not surrender it. And you perish with it because it becomes seared in your heart. And it doesn't matter that you came to church. It didn't matter that you volunteered, that you gave. Because remember what Jesus said. He said at the judgment seat, he said, there will be people who come in my name and say, Jesus, didn't we give in your name? Didn't we build in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do ministry in your name? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Because you had a form of godliness, but you would not deal with your heart. And this shows up in your marriage. This shows up. Your husband knows. Your wife knows.
That's right.
That's why I'm telling you, go to them and give them permission to correct you. Give them permission to bring this, not judge you, not tear you down, but to say, baby, this is something I see. And receive from that. Go to your pastors, go to your parents, young people, and say, Mom, Dad, do you see anything in me? I just went to my parents. I flew home just this week, and I was with my parents, and I thank God for godly parents. And I was just there, and my parents came, and they just prayed over me and anoint me with oil and plead the blood of Jesus over me and prophesy over me. And it's so beautiful to have your parents declare the word of God over you and speak over you and Mom and Dad, if you see anything in my life, you know, deal with me, you know, tell me. I don't want to lose my soul. I don't want to win the world and lose my soul.
That's right.
And I'm bringing this up because this iniquity begins to manifest in your home and your children. And some of you grew up and you can now point to Dad's iniquity and Mom's iniquity. I saw this in them and they never dealt with it. And it's like seared in their heart. And so while your heart is moldable, while it's pliable, while God's dealing with you, don't play hard to get with God. Don't play hard to get with God. Some people won't play hard to get. Don't play hard to get with God. Come to Jesus. Come on. I believe Jesus is coming soon. Anybody else believe that? I believe we're living in the last days. And whether it's the last days or not, it's your last days. It's my last days. And if there's ever been a time to be honest with God and be transparent with God and say, God, there's something in my heart that's not right. I don't want to die with this. I don't want this seared in my heart, because the lie is that you think you'll be able to change at some point, that you'll give it to God when you get ready. And you say, well, when I get ready, I'll decide to get ready. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not ready, I respect God too much to play with him, so I'm going to stay out there in sin. That sounds good, but that's garbage.
That's right.
Everything you said had a big I in it. When I get ready, when I decide, and when I... You think you go to him when you're ready. You don't realize he draws you. You don't go to him when you get ready. He draws you. The Bible said it is the convicting power of Jesus Christ that draws men to repentance. And that's why you ought not play hard to get with him, because he's not promised to call you again. And if you're in a relationship where you're sinning, if you're in a situation where you're sinning, if there's things in your heart that you know are wrong before God, some people are willfully blind. They choose to be blind.
Yes.
You see how quiet they are? Mm-hmm. They choose to be blind.
Really quiet.
They know. You know this person ain't no good. You know this person is a hot mess. That they are not ready for marriage. Your mama told you. Everybody told you. And the people you know who would tell you the truth, you didn't ask.
Yep.
And you go into it willfully blind. We live in a world
of...
You ignore them. Mm-hmm. You play crazy.
Yeah.
Is what they say in the Bahamas. You play crazy, right? And we live in a world of people who are willfully blind. Willfully blind. You know that this is a... It's like you look at this person, they 6'4", grown giant man, and he thinks he's a woman, dressed like a woman. And you willfully blind. We live in a world that chooses to be willfully blind. Act like we don't see what we see. It's like what's the nursery rhyme of the emperor with no clothes? He come in naked and everybody says, oh, how beautiful. These invisible clothes, so beautiful. Because everybody's scared. Everybody's scared to tell the emperor he's naked. Because they told him he got invisible clothes and he believed it. So everybody's scared. So everybody look at the naked emperor and be like, you know, oh, this is beautiful, so beautiful. And some little boy go, the emperor naked. What y'all talking about? This is what I mean willfully blind. Willfully blindness is when you know to do right. You know to do it and you choose not to do it. This is not a mistake. This is not, well, I messed up. This is I purposefully chose to go in the wrong direction of my own volition and perish.
Yep.
And that's why you've got to listen to God when he convicts your heart. Listen, young people, when God deals with your heart, don't override that. Don't play hard to get with that. Because that is the love of God. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. And that is God coming to you saying, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Don't do this. You know, because you think you might be able to come back, but you're not always able to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, sin will take you further than you ever thought you could go. Can I get an amen about that?
Amen.
And is there any people who can testify to that, that sin, to help the young people know what I'm talking about? Sin will take you further than you ever thought you would go. And learn to be a blessing in your home, to bless her. I want to bless her. I'm not going to curse her. And things that, things in our marriage or in our home that I want to change, there is power in your mouth. There's power in your mouth. Terry, pick up that bottle right there. Pick that bottle up. Pass that bottle to Chris. Chris, would you stand up? And Chris, take that bottle to Riley over there. Take that bottle to Riley, if you would. Take that bottle to Riley. And Riley, I want you to stand up. Thank you, Chris. And Riley, run that bottle all the way back there to, who's back there? Run that bottle to Riley, sitting back there. Run that bottle to Riley, that's sitting back there. Give that bottle to her. And then Riley, you stand up and pass it down to the right, to Ben, sitting down there. And Ben, you stand up and run as fast as you can all the way over here. Run it all the way over here. Come on. Actually, give it right here to Deontay. Give it right there to Deontay. And then Deontay, you stand up. And then run all the way up to the top of those steps. Right all the way up there to the top of those steps.
You couldn't give that to a young person?
He is young. Run all the way up to the top of those steps. There you go. You're doing it. Good job. Keep going. Keep going all the way to the top. And then go all the way over to the left. Go all the way to the left. Go all the way to the left. There you go. Give it all the way to the left.
He's getting ready for the men's conference.
Yep. And then you give it to somebody, whoever you want. You pick somebody to give it to.
We can't see.
Okay,
up there.
Can't see. Now you stand up. Whoever's got the bottle, you stand up. Now you walk it down the steps for me a little bit. You walk it down the steps a little bit. Keep going. And you give it to somebody. You give it to somebody. You pick whoever you want to give it to. Okay, now you stand up. Now you come down to the steps, over steps for me. There you go. Now you walk all the way down the steps for me, if you would. You're doing so great. Great job. Great job. Now you stop right there. Now give it to Brian that's standing there right next to you. Now, Brian, you run it up here for me. Walk it up here for me. So great. And you're doing really good. And then now you give it back to Terry. And then, Terry, you bring it to me. Terry brought it to me. Now, I moved this entire water bottle around this whole room with my mouth. What could you move in your life if you spoke to it? What could you move in your life if you spoke to it? What could you move in your marriage if you spoke to it?
That's right.
What could you move in the life of your children if you spoke to it? What could you move in your health if you spoke to it? What could you move in your finances if you spoke to it? That's why when a spirit of depression and anger comes on you and anxiety, the first thing it does is get you to shut up and not speak, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. If I can move a water bottle across an entire room with my words, what could I move in my family with my words?
That's right.
What can I move? Thank you, Terry. That's an anointed water bottle now. You gotta keep that one.
It's speaking even when you don't feel like it. It's just changing your mindset of, do I feel like doing this? No, but I'm gonna speak this over myself. I'm not gonna be depressed. I am a child of God. God
That's
loves
right.
me. I will do great things in the Lord. And just speaking that over yourself every day, your feelings will come into alignment to what you're saying.
That's right.
But if you keep speaking negativity, you're going to stay in that depression. You're going to stay in that hurt, and you're never going to get out of it.
Yeah. You got to release it to God. Give it to God.
That's right.
You know, give it to God. Luke 6, Jesus says, out of the mouth, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You know, what's in your heart? If lying's in your heart, you're going to be a liar. Mm-hmm. If lust is in your heart, you're going to be full of lust. If you're full of hurt, you're going to hurt people. Hurt people, wound people. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to be a healer, one of the greatest gifts you can give your spouse is a healthy you.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. And if we would take the time to get healed, our kids won't have to go through all they're going to go through later in life to get healed from having us as parents. If we would take the time to get healed.
That's right.
Matthew 12, 36 and 37, write it down. It says, but I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, you will give an account on the day of judgment for every word spoken.
Some of y'all want to erase some of your words.
Every word. Do you know that? You're going to give an account to God for your words? You're going to stand before the Lord one day. It's Jesus speaking here, Matthew. Mm-hmm. He says you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for your words, for your mouth. You're going to give an account. A lot of people don't know it, but we spend, depending on your personality, you speak anywhere from 7 to 20,000 words every day. I probably say 100,000 words on Sundays, which means 20,000 words equals about 50 pages. So every day you're writing about a 50-page book. Every day. 50 pages, 50-page book. So when you get to heaven, they're going to come wheeling out those library carts. Come on, smile. Right? This is just September. September.
That's right.
Let's open a book. Here we are. Okay. Sunday. What's today? September what?
I don't even know.
15th? 18th. September 18th. Here we are. September 18th, 2022, 3:00. I think Pastor is annoying. I don't like what he said. I totally disagree with this. And he, okay. Here we are, September 20th. My husband gets on my nerves. I can't stand him. I wish he.
Yep.
Would you be more cautious with your words if everything you said was going on social media? You'd probably be more cautious with your words. You'd probably be more careful with them. You can either speak by blessing or speak or curse by speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Steward your words. Your words carry weight in the lives of your children, in the lives of your spouse. Do you know you could heal your spouse today with your words? Heal them. Just heal them. A fear. Worry, intimidation with words. You could heal. Heal a child with words. Heal a parent with words. Steward them. What are you going to do with them? Do we just use them carelessly, or do we really care about the words that come out of our mouth? Every day, can you imagine if every day somebody gave you $84,600, and at the end of the day, whether you spent the money or not, it was gone. And then the next day, you'd get another $84,600. Whatever you did with it, at the end of the day, the money's gone. Leaves the account. The next day, you wake up, there's another $84,600. If you knew that today you were going to go on your phone, pull up your checking account, and there'd be $84,600, and at the end of the day, if you didn't spend it, it would be gone. You would spend every single one of those dollars. And you would do whatever you had to do to make sure you spent every single one of them to the best of your ability, to the best knowledge you knew how, the wisest way to spend them. You would, every single one of those dollars, you would be like, I got to buy this with it and this with it and this with it. And I don't want to waste it. I want to do this.
Yep.
Well, every day you have 84,600 seconds. Every single day. And are you using them wisely? Or are you just letting them slip away? Because at the end of the day, they're gone.
That's good.
And you're going to wake up tomorrow with another 84,600 seconds. And what are you going to do with them? Are you going to steward them? Are you going to make them count? Because your children are watching.
That's right.
Your family's watching. And we want you to have a healthy home, a healthy home. What good is it if you gain the whole world and you lose your family? Gain the whole world and lose your children.
Yep.
They did a study for men on men and women in their men from 20 to 40. And most men from 20 to 40 are very focused on creating their brand, making money, trying to get somewhere, trying to make a name for themselves. Women from 20 to 40 were focused on like integrity. They were focused on who they are becoming. They were focused way different on family values, marriage values, those kind of things. It flips at 40. Because at 40, most men are like, I'm not gonna, you know, what difference does it make if I have this or have that? What matters more is my family. What matters more is my kids. What matters more is this. The problem is, once you're 40, you can't go back and reparent. And a lot of us have lost our marriages and lost our children because we're focused on the wrong thing. Now that you know you're 40, you're 45, but they're grown. And you're going, man, I wish I could go back and redo it. That's why I'm telling you, focus on your marriage, focus on your family, focus on who you are becoming in Christ from 20 to 40. Focus on this. You're going to make more money from 40 to 60 than you are 20 to 40.
That's right.
You're going to make more money. You know how much more? Yeah, I love being 43. I love being 43. I'm like, this is me. You don't like it, don't look at it. I'm telling people, they're like, well, I'm coming to Belong. We want to see if this is kind of church. We're church shopping. I'm like, well, I'm member shopping. I want you to come to Belong to see if you're the type of person I want to pastor. I don't even want to pastor everybody. You think I'm into a crowd? I'm not. I'm not trying to build a crowd. I'm trying to build a church.
That's right.
Bishop Jake says, if you build a crowd and not a church, the crowd will turn into a mob and kill you. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't call me to build a crowd. He called me to build a church. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to pastor everybody. You know, I tell people, if you don't want a pastor, if you're not looking to be a part of a family, if you're not looking for community, if you're not looking to be generous, if you're not looking to use your gifts for the body of Christ, I don't want to pastor you.
That's right.
Maybe it's because I'm getting too old. I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, I don't want to be responsible for you. Because Hebrews 13:17 says that pastors will stand before God and give an account to God for those that they shepherd. And I don't want to shepherd people that I have that will refuse. When we tell them to pray, they refuse to pray. Mm-hmm. Where we tell them to do these things and submit to the word of God, they refuse to do it. How many of you here would be willing to watch somebody's kid that won't listen to you? They out in the road. And you're like, come out the road. You ain't my daddy. I ain't got to listen to you. Fine. I'm not your God. You go. You let God deal with you. I ain't watching you. I am not going to stand before God and give an account for you. Somebody else can watch you. I resign from being your pastor. Y'all think I'm kidding. I've resigned many a times. But it's the same thing when it comes in your home is your children are watching. And they're watching you. Actually, let's get ready to end with this. And I want to pray in just a moment. It's early. I'm cutting my sermon down, but it's early in this. But I'm going to end our service today with praying for people. I'm actually going to give an altar call for people to come to the altar and let Pastor Joanne and I pray for you. Because the Lord spoke to me this week when I was with my parents about people. There's people in our church who have things in their heart that are not right with the Lord. They're not where they need to be. And it is acting out. It's causing symptoms and challenges within your home, in your marriage. It could be insecurities and past and things you went through as a child, whatever it is. And there's people who are trying to do marriage without God, without the Holy Spirit. And the Lord spoke to me as a pastor and as a priest to pray for you today. How many of you guys are glad for pastors and priests that'll just take the time in a service to pray for you? And we want to pray for you.
Amen.
And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to that in a moment. But I'll just have Reggie come out. And I think all of our kids are backstage. Bring them. Send them out if you don't mind. There they come. Give them all a big God bless you. And kind of stay. Yeah, come on out and take this out. Line up over here. They're still coming. And this is This is our crew. We have eight. And so here's what we'll do. Let's actually just see. Okay, let's stand here, baby. Stand right there behind. Okay, now you come here. You're not in there. That's not where you both. Let go of their hands. You're trying to lead everything. Stand right there. Okay, who is this? This one's Winston? Okay, so Augustine, you stand. Okay, there you go. She thinks they're her staff. So I'm this the leader in the home spiritually. Joanne and I are equal in every way except in responsibility. God gave me the responsibility. So the wind hits me. Mm-hmm. Men, don't complain about the wind hitting you. It's supposed to hit you.
That's right.
Come on, where's my men at in here? It's supposed to hit you. You are a covering. You are a covering for your family. Okay? And just as we're going to speak later in that Elvis series, is they are to follow me as I follow Christ.
That's right.
They are to follow me as I follow Christ. That they are to imitate me as I imitate Christ. Amen. And so as they're young and they're growing, I give the orders. I give the vision. So follow me, baby. Everybody follow me. So everybody's following Dad. Everybody's following Dad. And then put your hands up. Everybody start putting their hands up. Everybody put your hands up like that. Okay. Okay. And then, see, you can see who's not saved. And then I'm going to put my hands down. Now see, that time I didn't tell them to put their hands up. You see, you start off telling them, but pretty soon they begin to learn to follow by watching.
That's right.
They just watch you. They just get in alignment with do what mama does, do what daddy does, and they begin to do what they see. So come on. Come on. So stop here. So we line them all up. And this is Alexander, Nicholas, Isabella, Penelope, Victoria, Liliana, Augustine, and Winston. And that's fine. You clap them. And when Joanne and I argue, when we fight, anytime your kids see you fight, it makes their world not feel safe. Makes their world not feel safe. When mom and dad love each other, when mom and dad hug, when mom and dad kiss, as much as they be like, this guy's driving me nuts, it makes their world feel safe.
They're always smiling when they do that.
They're always smiling. I think it makes your world feel safe when you know your pastors love each other. Yeah. I think it makes your world feel safe. But you think he's almost 17. You think you have till they're 19, 20 to really influence them. When your children begin to go through puberty, you lose 80% of the influence. And it typically goes to school, peers, goes to other areas. And if you are not involved, if you are not invested in the hearts and the lives of your child, in early ages, really in here. Because when they're real little like this, you speak to them. And I would encourage you, even when they're little, begin to pray with them. Begin to say, lift your hands, lift your hands, lift your hands. Say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. See, Winston's not saved. That's how some of y'all look during worship service. Right there. That's how you look. How you look. Wearing our worship team out, y'all. Just how you look. Jesus died on the cross and bled so you don't go to hell, and that's how you look in worship service. So, and but you teach them real little while they're real little. You do everything else with them. You buy them little toy cars and wood sets to work on things, and they don't know nothing. Little kitchen, they don't know how to do. It's all plastic food they serve in you. They do in plastic stuff, but they learn. But we wait. You do all these things, football and basketball, and throw daddy the touchdown. They don't know what touchdown is. Yeah. But you do all that, and you don't talk to them about God till they in here. You don't start praying with them till they in here.
Yep.
You don't start reading the Word of God with them and talking to them about salvation and whatnot. But you do all, you do everything else when they hear.
Mm-hmm.
Here, this is how you tie your shoe. Here, this how. Why wouldn't you teach them how to pray when they little?
Yep.
Why wouldn't you teach them about the Word of God when they little? Why wouldn't you teach them about worship when they little? Why you wait till they get to the place where you don't have the influence?
That's right.
You've lost the influence because you know why? Because you have prioritized work and money and all these other things ahead of time because you're in that 20 to 40 trying to make it, only to turn 40 and lose them.
Mm-hmm.
This right here is the only thing you can take to heaven with you.
Amen.
This is it.
Amen.
You take nothing with you. You take no money with you. You take no cars with you. You take no stocks with you. You take no real estate with you. You take no clothing with you. You take no jewelry with you. This is all you take to heaven with you. Is right here.
Beautiful.
This has to become a priority in our lives. Amen. And we can no longer afford to be lazy parents. We cannot afford to be lazy parents. So we have to turn the doggone TV off and turn our hearts towards the Lord the last 30 minutes of the night, the last hour of the night, and begin to pray, begin to worship. Sometimes Alexander's playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're singing. Sometimes we're doing it. And sometimes it's powerful and God shows up, and other times it's not. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes like quit farting. We're trying to pray. Sometimes it's not amazing, but we're doing it. Because the real love in it is the pursuit. A real hunter doesn't just hunt when he kills something. A real fisherman doesn't just fish when he catches something. What they love is the pursuit. You got to love the pursuit of God in your home and in your family and teach them how to pursue him. Teach them how to pursue him. And they watch. They watch. You know? They had to. Hey. Stop it. They watch. And see, it's easier for them because they see. You see how when they're going around the circle, they saw all the other ones? Oh, we go and walk. Okay. You see? Because you got to really invest because the other ones are watching.
Mm-hmm.
They watch and they learn how to pray. They learn how to seek. So they doing devotions and they start doing devotions and they start doing devotions and they go all the way down. And so you begin to model it in your home. This is your home. You are the pastor in your home. Can you get your church to pray?
Mm, that's good.
Some of y'all talking about me. What Pat White I don't do. Can you get your church to volunteer? They got to serve. They got to change diapers. She had to go back and get the jacket for Liliana, which you don't have on. Change diapers, make bottles, serve, clean the house. So they learn service. You know the one person you don't want to serve is a sibling. If you can learn to serve siblings, you can serve anybody. They can serve you because they serve each other. They got to learn to honor each other. It's hard to honor siblings, hard to serve siblings. And they do that. Get each other this and get dressed and iron that and so and so. Where's your shoe? Where is your other shoe? We have to have 20 shoes to leave the house.
Yep.
We can't leave with 19. We have to have 20.
And we gotta get all the always lose them.
Always lose them. Gotta get all the clothes laid out. They gotta change clothes different times. He gotta change clothes. This one drive me nuts. You gotta pray for me. And so I'm just bringing them out here before you. We're not a perfect family. We don't have it all together. But discipline them when they're real little. Discipline them. And I'm not telling you how to discipline, okay? But discipline them when they're little. Because when they're little, if I got to discipline these guys, They are over it in 10 minutes. Okay? It takes them longer to get over it, the discipline, the older they get. And because it starts to take a long time to get over it, you don't do it. So teach them real young. The Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Okay? But the rod of correction will drive it far from them. However you discipline, okay? But discipline them when they're little and take the time to teach them. Write it on their heart. So when you go to Google Calendar and you look at your week, you have family in there? You got training your children the Word of God in there? Or you just got business meetings? Because this is what matters.
That's right.
Come on, you with me? This is what matters. This is what matters. Give them all a big God bless you. I love you.
Hey, if this sermon blessed you and your family, I want to encourage you to be a truth partner. You can do that by simply going to creativechurch.com/give and partnering with us to help get this message of truth out to more people in our nation and around the world. It is our truth partners that make this a reality. Again, thank you for subscribing to our channel. Thank you for liking today's video. We'll see you back here on the channel real soon.